Well, we have a lot to cover, so I do want to go ahead and start on time. This is, I did go ahead and record this so that if anybody needs to reference anything, we can provide this for you. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm excited to first announce that we have two new staff members, part of the TC911 family. We have Kat Cunningham, who is the new communications coordinator and will be working side by side with me. And a lot of you have met her in the PSAPs as she took on the great journey of dropping off the gifts. So we're excited to have Kat. So welcome to Kat. And then in the training department, we have another training coordinator, Alberto Balbueno. Buena, sorry, Alberto. He has joined us also. And already I can tell by sitting next to him in the same office area that he's already doing great things for their department. And I'm sure y'all will be hearing and seeing things from him coming in the future. So happy Telecommunicator Week, all those headset heroes. Thank you to all leadership for forwarding emails and helping keep making sure that our communication from the district to y'all is when necessary, not just to you guys, but also goes out to our dispatchers so we can keep them in the loop and they can keep on continue education or do things to help out in the community as myself as I try to involve them as possible to show that you know they do so much and they have such a passion to be there for their community. So if you have any questions about anything recent or whatnot, please let me know. We'll go ahead and start off with the training department. So I'll let Elena and Sophia and Alberto take it over.
Sophia, do you want to go first?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Just a couple of updates to make sure y'all are informed. The needs assessment that you guys completed in this past fall, we went ahead and took a look at it. Your voices have been heard. We've made some changes to our catalog, some additions, and that we've planned to include in the future as well. We've done one of the things that we did that was mentioned several times in the needs assessment was more licensing classes. So we have added an extra licensing class this year for in-district only. So you guys are first come, first serve, because you know our classes are open to anyone that would like to attend. However, because this is a need that you guys have noted, we've gone in there and put that it's for in-district agencies only. You have until mid-July to sign up. At that point, we do have a wait list already going for those out-of-district agencies that are interested in sending their people because we want to make sure that we fill all the spots in the class. Since it is such an important class, this is also a good way for us to see if it's going to work, if we need to do this again next year. Because if it works, of course, we want to continue doing that. But we have increased our licensing classes from 4 to 5 this year to meet those needs. Some of the courses that were mentioned that we had not had on our catalog that you guys noted were a need were human trafficking, new supervisor, and organizational cultures. So those are three classes that we currently have in the works. That will be coming out soon. So keep an eye on our catalog. And the next needs assessment. So we try to do it in the fall. However, for budget purposes, we are needing to do it earlier than that. So keep an eye out at some point next month or early June. You will be getting that needs assessment for the upcoming budget year. It helps us plan and to make sure we are allocating our funds in a way that is useful for you all. One of the things that we are going to add to the questions for the needs assessment is CPR, because we want to know what you guys are doing for CPR and kind of project what that cost is going to look like for the district and for us to plan. Because, of course, you know, we do have to pay for materials, the books, and the CPR cards. So the question is going to ask, you know, what are you doing for CPR? Do you plan on sending students to the district, or how many people do you still need to be certified? Because we have seen an increase in enrollment in some of our CPR classes. So we just want to make sure that we're meeting any needs that you guys have, especially with that requirement now by TCOL and the legislation. And let's see. Next, we have just a little friendly reminder. As supervisors, training coordinators, if you guys are having them save spots and classes on our learning stream, that's okay. Just keep in mind, if you realize that you're not going to need the spot, let us know, because we have noticed some of the spots being taken up as placeholders, and we can't control that. But we just asked, you know, for y'all to be mindful of, if you're not going to need the spot, just let us know as soon as possible, because a lot of our classes do have wait lists. And we want to make sure we get as many people as possible inside into those classes. And the last item is we have the conference that's coming up next week. So if you have people that you would like to send, there's still on-site registration. There's There's tons of sessions that I think are very interesting. And us at your training team has worked really hard. We are in charge of the educational sessions. So we are very excited for our presenters and think that your people would find them very beneficial. But if y'all have any questions or any suggestions, we're always open to hear them. We want to hear from you. We want to know that what we're doing is meeting whatever you guys may need. So do y'all have any questions for me? No? Okay. Thank you. Elena, it's your turn.
Hi, everyone. So just a few more things for training. I have recently been the one that's been proctoring the licensing exam. So when y'all send your students to the licensing class, the basic telecommunicator licensing class, I have them basically sign up to pick the date or the time slot in which they're going to take that exam. We've had a few questions from supervisors just kind of asking how this is working, why we don't have those times available for the students on day one, and just to kind of clear up any confusion. So we usually try to provide them that sign up sheet at the end of the first week or beginning of the second week of licensing. The reason being is because we only have so many spots to do the test. And so I can't have the entire class go in and test at one time. So if I have some students who feel like they're going to need that additional study time in the morning, they may be more prone to sign up for the midday or afternoon time slot to sign up. So they will usually not have the exact time of their exam again until the end of that first week or the beginning of the second. And they are told to let their supervisors know what time slot they have picked or unfortunately may have been stuck with, and so that y'all can work with their schedule appropriately. This last class, for some reason, we just had several that had to go to work, leave, go test, and then go right back because there was some confusion on how that process works. So I just wanted to clarify that, yes, we do have them sign up, but it's not usually until they get in there and start learning the material to know how long it may take them to study if they want to study before they go in and so forth. The other thing is we just want to let y'all know we will be starting to send out some email blasts about upcoming classes that we have just to kind of get some of the great course material out there to you all ahead of time. So if you see something interesting, y'all have ample time to go in and sign up. But this is going to be sent out to not only you all, but to anybody who has an account in our learning stream system. So if you have people coming to you saying, hey, I just got this weird email, it's got these dates and classes, that is from us. It is not spam. So just know that we are going to start doing that to promote some of our summer courses. And then we plan to do it kind of on a quarterly basis. With that, we do have some great upcoming classes that still have plenty of spots open. And the summer is really what people are looking at to plan for right now, as we are already kind of diving deep into the spring. In June, we have several coming up. We have the DPS Alerts class. We have a PowerPoint Essentials class for all my people out there that do training and put on presentations. Instructor Z, who's also presenting at the Texas Public Safety Conference, is coming here to put on a presentation on how to make very effective and quality PowerPoints. We have Denise Amber Lee coming back, and we will be in Everman to put on the Hope in the Midst of Chaos. It is a return class based on that needs assessment. Everybody tends to really enjoy and take a lot from it. It is in regards to the shooting in Vegas. So we have Matt Grogan coming in to teach that. We're very excited about having him return. And then it is also something that was mentioned on the needs assessment. Another CTO class will be coming up at the end of June, June 24th. And we do still have spots in that. And that is one that tends to fill up very quickly. So if you have someone that you need to get into a CTO class, I highly recommend getting them in sooner than later, because I do feel that it will fill up pretty quickly. So that's what we have coming up. We can't wait to see you all either attending class or sending people to come and see us. We love having everybody here. So that's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, training department. Anybody else have any other questions? If you come up with something later, please put it in the group chat. We can answer it there, or you can obviously you can email the training department individually if you'd like. So up next, we are going to hear from the fabulous Tech Ops team. So I'll let them take over the show.
Hey there, good morning. It's Yvonne. Abby's going to share a form for me that we had received here a little while back. I actually didn't know this form was out there. I was probably sent out some years ago, but I wanted to go ahead and show everyone in case you have this on file somewhere, asking you to fax this or email it to Aaron Zuzik. If you would please just delete that, I would appreciate it. All ally discrepancy or 91B or whatever you're used to calling it should be submitted through VESTA and the incorrect location button. That's our procedure now. So if you have any other way, the old 91B forms, this form, anything else, if you could just get rid of that, please, so there's no confusion, I would appreciate it. And if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
All right.
Great, I did a fantastic job, no questions.
Hey everybody, it's Cody. I wanted to provide an update regarding some text message anomalies that we had brought up at our last PSAP manager meeting, specifically the embedded location text message that is delivered with Apple and Android devices on the AT&T mobility network. We have been working with Motorola to investigate the cause of this. And if there's anything that can be done, a couple weeks ago, we completed another step in the investigation process to get some more data. We are waiting to hear back from Motorola regarding the results of that and hope to be able to move forward with either an explanation or a resolution after that. Again, I just wanted to stress to you and your teams that those text messages from our testing are actually being received, even though you may see a failure in that initial text message. However, should you see a failure of any text messages beyond that, we would like to be notified. So if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Or if anybody wants to get with me afterwards, we can discuss it. And that's all I've got.
And Cody, to clarify, I think what you're saying is if we see any subsequent after the initial failure in the same string of text, that's what you're referring to as bring it to our attention, right?
That is correct. Then anything beyond that initial you have reached, insert your agency message, anything beyond that in the conversation, then yes, please bring that to our attention.
Anybody have questions for Cody at all? Great.
Okay, it's my turn. If you did not meet me at the last manager meeting, my name's Amber. I am the 911 quality assurance analyst. So happy to see all of y'all here. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that if there are any issues with Voyance or Language Line, if you're having any issues with the quality of the translation that's provided or the translator or interpreter disconnecting in the middle of a call and you have to reconnect with another interpreter, you are able to email those into us and I can get with either Voyance or Language Line and kind of see what the issue was there. Especially if it's happening a lot of times, we want to be able to let them know that these issues are there and what we can do about it. So I'm going to go ahead and put my email in the chat for those of you who don't have it. just go ahead and send me an email with a copy of the audio and then just a brief description of what happened. And like I said, I can reach out to Voyance and Language Line and see what's going on and try to see if we can get those issues to stop. Because I know it can be very frustrating on y'all's end when you're trying to get a call started and you're having issues with the interpreter or any kind of barrier there. So I'm going to go ahead and drop my email in the chat now. And that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Okay, back to me. We have a report in from only one agency, but I've actually seen it at other agencies. You know, on the bottom of Map Local, there's a shared map. So all 911 calls coming into your center are going to have that little oblong bit of information at the bottom of Map Local where the new ones come in on the left and they bump everything down. And it has, you know, like the icon for the class of service and the time and the position that answered it and the phone number, that kind of thing. Well, at several places, they, for every, well, not every call, but for numerous calls coming in, is showing two of those call cards for the one call. So we are trying to work with our vendor on that. We've escalated it several times, but we only know of two places. One reported it, one we saw when we were out there doing some training. So if you guys are experiencing that, we would really like to know about it because that gives us more leverage with our vendor. I know it's so easy as telecommunicators to just go with the flow, wing it, do what you have to do. But if you are seeing that, we would appreciate you just letting us know. You're not complaining. You're not making a problem. We just want to know, please. And if there's any questions, you can, I'll be happy to answer. Over to you, Sarah.
All right. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. We are going to briefly talk. I'm not an attorney, but we have some folks either new to Texas or may not be aware. And since it's Telecommunicator Week, y'all do not need to be abused any more than you already are at your job. So we're going to talk about the penal codes and the agenda and 061 penal code as well. So let me share my screen. And the first one we're going to talk about briefly, a person commits an offense if a person makes a call to a 911 service or requests 911 service using an electronic communication device when there is not an emergency and knowingly or intentionally remains silent, makes abusive or harassing statements to a PSAP employee. And this is a Class B misdemeanor. So if that is happening at your agency, you don't have to take the abuse. So if you were not aware, 062 talks about interference with an emergency request for assistance, knowingly or recklessly prevent or interfere with another's ability to place an emergency call or to request assistance. And this is a Class A misdemeanor. So if someone's preventing another person from dialing 911 or interfering with that 911 call, that is also an offense. So just making those aware that is out there, and any questions for me? See your CID department for more details. Thank y'all.
Gail,
you're up.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I was hoping just to reach out to all the PSAP managers out there that if you are receiving any complaints about calls not going, 911 calls not going to the appropriate PSAP and having to be transferred back, that I will be glad to come out and test and see if we can improve the call routing. I did want to update all of you and let you know that all of our three major carriers in Tarrant County 911 District, that would be AT&T Mobility, Verizon, and T-Mobile, do have the capability, and we have implemented location-based routing for all of those carriers. So this means the carriers should be able to route the call based on the actual location of the caller. Now, we don't live in a perfect world, so this doesn't always happen. So if there is not time to actually route the call based on the location of the caller, the call will default to our historical method of routing 911 calls, which is based on the cell tower. And a lot of these cell towers, as we know, they overlap jurisdictions, they overlap county boundaries, et cetera. So there could be an instance where it does, the 911 call does go to a piece nearby or neighboring PSAP and jurisdiction. So we do provide the cell routing for the carriers. And so I'll be glad to go out and test if you have any issues at all and see if we can make any improvements. And like Amber, I'll go ahead and put, for those of you that don't have it, I'll put my email address in the chat. And feel free to reach out to me anytime if you have questions about wireless testing, location-based routing, or any other items relating to call routing. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Gail, does that apply to all the prepaid cell phone services that are carried by the bigger carriers as well?
So there is a mandate out now by the FCC. It was mandated January 25th for all wireless carriers to implement location-based routing. Now, they do have 2 years to implement this. Now, there could be some scenarios that there are some smaller carriers that do not have this implemented. However, most all of the CLECs and other wireless carriers ride the three major carrier networks within Tarrant County. So I haven't had too many complaints. There are some areas, you know, near boundaries where I've gone out and tested. And I can request changes made to that cell tower routing to provide maybe a little bit better coverage. I hope I answered your question, Aubrey.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Gail. This is Tracy in Mansfield.
Hi,
how are you doing? Is this location information going, if the, for some reason, the caller does not have their location information turned on their phones, will it override because they're calling 911 and provide that no matter what?
The three major carriers that I mentioned will have all implemented location-based routing. So it should provide it. Now, there are some instances with cell phones where they have SOS routing or emergency routing where they utilize Wi-Fi or other things where they put in an emergency address. But the carrier is always going to provide the location of the caller first. And then if that's not possible, then they would possibly or implement that address that the subscriber has put in the phone. But they're always going to provide the location from the phone if they have that information from where the caller is, that location first.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What other questions do you guys have? Also, I know in the past, it's been quite some time, but we had different neighborhoods that had complaints. And I know Abby has gone out and spoken about wireless before. I've talked to different customers. So if you have any requests from residents in your jurisdictions, or if they have specific complaints, I'd be glad to also go out and test at their location or speak with them personally. So just let me know.
Thank you, Gail. All right. Well, we just whipped through all that faster than I thought we would. That's right. We always want to be respectful of y'all's time. Y'all do an amazing job. Are there any questions, comments, concern? We'll just open it up. If there's anything that you want to ask any of us district members, or if there's district members on that want to say, tech team, you have a question there from Tammy on the chats. We are receiving a large amount of spam/robocalls on our lines, and they're coming in on our non-emergency and 911. Is anyone else having this issue, and how do we solve it?
So I guess I'll take a stab here. So in some cases, they should not be coming in on 911, but there are some specific access numbers that can be used. We've seen this occasionally every now and again for a backdoor number into those 911 trunk groups. If you're seeing something like that, definitely let us know. There are some things that we can do about that. Certainly, if you're having some spam, there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot of initiatives with both the FCC and some of the groups trying to set some standards in place to reduce the number of robocalls and spam that's out there. But that is something that you can try. And there's obviously the do not call list, which was one of those things that worked for a while. But depending where they're coming from, there are some cases you can reach out to speak to get off of some of those lists. But that is sometimes not as effective as one might hope. There's some initiatives there. I think Gail's had some experience on this. Do you want to kind of add something to that, Gail?
Yes, the carriers have implemented out there some technologies to recognize and prevent call spoofing and those robocalls. So I think you'll see it apply more and more to 911 in the future.
Tammy, we can chat offline and see what we can do to help you.
However, if anybody is having problems on this and it's going on, it's one of those things, if we don't know about it, we can't help fix it, but let us know. Reach out to Sarah's team and they can certainly take a look. And if we don't know, we can certainly do our best. Every now and again, we find new things that happen. The Metroplex is a breeding ground for new issues. So if there is something new that's out there, let us know. We'll be happy to dig into it and see what we can find out. We've got a lot of contacts.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Yvonne, for putting that in there. Orlando has a chat comment in there. Yeah, I just ran our numbers, and over the last two quarters, they have doubled. We are getting about 200 a month in Bedford.
Orlando, that's on your admin lines, or?
Or is it coming from like a specific number that doubled in call volume?
Contingent emergencies. Those lines are on the do not call list. As Kevin alluded to, those are often not as productive as we would hope. Just because you're on the list doesn't, you know, necessarily mean they're not going to call you. But if we can help track down where some of these calls are coming from and help you, we found sometimes that they're just a fax machine that has the wrong phone number. And but Orlando, we can help you.
Anybody else have any questions? Kudos to Cody in the chat.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. All right. Did Bell have anything else? If you want to ask us something else, or if staff has something to say, something else to the PSAP leadership, I know this is your time. We're definitely way ahead of schedule, but I understand if you need to go and you're happy this is short, that's fine too. I know we're all busy, but we're here for you if you have anything. So if no one has anything, I'll stay on for a little bit. But if you we have really nothing else left to mention or whatnot. But again, we're here for you. Emails are in there, in the chat for you to reach out to whoever departments you'd like to if you need help with stuff. But just know that we work for you all, and we hope that you have a great rest of the week. And again, happy Telecommunicator Week, and thank you all for what you do.
Thank
Bye,
you,
everybody.
Happy TC Week.
Bye. Happy TC Week, everyone.
Bye, Abby.
Bye, Kevin.
5
Bye, Philip.